The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 20. The land area of the largest 11 states is more than the other 39 states combined. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and today I'm very fortunate to have the pleasure, for the second time ever on the Extra Pack of Peanuts podcast, to have two guests on the other side of the line, and not just any two guests, but travel royalty. John and Laura from the Democratic Travelers, who were just announced as a 2013 National Geographic Travelers of the Year. John and Laura, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome and a huge congratulations to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
So guys, obviously you didn't win Traveler Year Award for sitting at your house, and I did not want to give it away in the intro because I wanted you to explain the awesome travel idea you had and that you're currently undertaking. So for those who don't know, what are you guys up to?
So we're on a road trip around the country, in which the stops we make on our road trip are basically suggested by and voted upon the people following our website. Hence the Democratic Travelers. We go where the votes tell us we should go.
Very, very cool. So, and how does it work? So anyone could come on your website, suggest anything, and you'll more or less try to make your way there?
Yeah. So it's, if you go there, it's a map, and it works just like Google Maps. It is a Google map, and you can, you know, if you think there's a great barbecue place in Tennessee we should go to, you type in the name of it, and then we ask you what we should do there and why. So if there's a specific sandwich we need to get, tell us about it, and then, you know,
tell us why it's so good.
Yeah, tell us why it's so good, and then that'll drop a little pin on the map, and then once it's on there, there's basically a little call to action that says, you know, should we do this, yay or nay? And you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And by the time we make it to Tennessee, we'll take a look at how many votes each suggestion has and stop at the ones with the most.
Yeah.
Wow. So when did this idea come about? I know on your site you've been doing it since February of this year, February of 2013. When did the idea come about, though? And how long from when you had the idea to when you actually started in February?
Well, I guess it was about a year ago when we were, you know, we'd been planning our trip for like 8 months, and, you know, I kind of wanted to do a project that spanned the length of our trip, you know, something to kind of work on throughout the entire,
which was originally going to be a year, but
yeah.
So you were going to take the road trip regardless of the whole people voting and telling you where to go type thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But then, you know, we were like, how can we get people involved and, you know, not thinking that we're going to be on a year long vacation, which is what a lot of people thought. But you know, people are already giving us suggestions, you know, like, you know, if you go anywhere, they're like, oh, you're going to New Orleans, you have to go to this one spot on this one small street, you know, in the French Quarter. So you're getting a lot of those. And we decided, you know, John builds websites. So, you know,
conveniently.
How convenient. but, you know, we figured we could build a website to kind of collect all these suggestions. And we realized we couldn't go to all of them. So we had, you know, we thought that people could vote on them.
And yeah, kind of filter them out and self-edit, you know, it's like a self-editing collection of travel ideas.
Right, right. So then when you guys had the idea, so you're going to travel around the United States anyway, and then you said, okay, why don't we enlist, you know, the masses of people to give us suggestions? What was then the biggest obstacle to starting your journey? And how did it, when you had the idea to have people help you, did that push back when you were going to start, or did you just start as you normally would and just say, we're going to hopefully get people to put votes in as we go along and get more attention?
Getting on the road was the main thing. The website was secondary to that, but so it all kind of came together, you know, the travel planning and then the website design development stuff all kind of happened together, but it kind of felt like, you know, we talked about it and planned and researched and did all this stuff for, like she said, like 8 months before we left. And then it didn't seem like anything was happening except a lot of talk. And then suddenly, you know, it was like 2 weeks before we had to leave Brooklyn to go down to Florida to, you know, we moved into my mom's place and, you know, actions just started happening really fast, you know, and
packing
suddenly
up our apartments and yeah, selling old stuff. And yeah, then we were renting the van to take all of our stuff down to Florida. Yeah. And
we woke up one morning and we were in Florida. And then yeah, 2 days after that, we suddenly had bought a truck. And
wow.
The day after that, we went and picked the Airstream up out of the storage unit. And, you know, next thing I knew, I was towing a giant trailer for the first time. And, you know, so it went from a lot of planning to a lot of action very suddenly.
Yeah, so that's really, and you guys start in Florida and you have a truck that pulls an Airstream, correct? That's kind of your setup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
very
34
cool.
Foot, 1986. Airstream. So,
and how is the Airstream holding up? I mean, you guys have lived in it now for 9 months or so. What's it like?
It's definitely been used well for the past 9 months.
Yeah, we put it through its paces. It was, my mom had actually bought it in 2006, and the plan was for her to keep it parked somewhere just as kind of a little vacation home. So if she wanted to, you know, escape out of Florida for a couple of weeks, she'd come to the Airstream and hang out, and, you know, it would never be traveling. So when she restored it, she didn't, you know, she didn't exactly set it up for constant travel. So now that we've been traveling constantly with it,
things are kind of falling apart.
Yeah, things are rattling off, and you know, I have to bolt a few things back on, but. You know, that's the joy of having a house that's also a car.
Right. 25 states later, right? It wasn't supposed to go anywhere, and now you're taking it all over.
Exactly, yeah.
Very, very cool. What was the feedback you got from friends and family when you first decided to take this trip? Because I know a lot of people that come to this site, my site, are younger or want to travel more, but kind of either don't because they're scared, or not just scared, but they think, well, I can't afford to take off work, or I need to get a job, this and that. You guys have sat down and said, you know, we're going to take this year trip no matter what. We're going to leave our jobs and do what we want to do. So what was the feedback from people around you for doing this?
We definitely, one of the things that people say to us most is, I wish I could do what you're doing. And we just want to tell them, you can't do it. You know, that's not that simple, obviously, but, you know, it the scariest part is like taking that leap and just doing it, you know, planning it, you know, making it happen.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. A lot of people say exactly that. I wish I could do it. And, you know, they all have, you know, very valid excuses why they can't. But at our going away party in New York, we had one couple come up to us and say, I wish we had the balls to do what you're doing,
yeah,
which I thought was the more accurate statement. You know, it's not that our balls are very big, but it is a, you know, significant sacrifice, you know, that you have to be willing to take. And I think a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. You know, people say they wish they could, and there are valid excuses, and some people really, really cannot for some reason or another, but 90% of people could do something. And like you guys said, you spend all this time planning and then it all happens so quick, and then you just get on the road or you get on a plane or whatever you're doing and you realize, okay, well, now I'm going, and so be it, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's fear of the unknown, I think, that holds a lot of people back. And I've always been a very relaxed kind of person, especially when it comes to like money and things. You know, my philosophy is it always works out, you know, life always balances itself out, and
somehow,
you know, if something needs to happen, you'll end up making it happen. And, you know, if you can't do something, you won't do it. And, you know,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. And, you know, at any point in the trip, if things completely fell apart, you know, we could stop somewhere and take jobs and, you know, figure something out. But
yeah, and I think that's a really important point for younger people who want to travel and don't, and even older people who might not be as settled with a family or whatever. Yeah, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, get out and do it and see it. And you very rarely, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anyone who's gone on a trip, whether it's, you know, road tripping around the U.S., backpacking around Europe, going to Southeast Asia, whatever they're doing, who's come back and said, you know, that month-long trip just really sucked, and I wish I had stayed home, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's the things that do go wrong that always kind of make the story richer and you know, put some hair on your chest and, you know, make you a different person when you come back, so...
Yeah, it's what makes the experience an experience as opposed to just a picture and here's the Grand Canyon, yippee, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Speaking of that, have you guys had, I'm sure you've had some issues during your journey, but what has been the biggest obstacle you've had to jump over?
Well, we...
South Dakota?
Well, that, yes, but I was going to say, you know, we're both working on the road. John's freelancing, you know, web development. And I'm working a little bit, but we've definitely had zero money like 5 times. And that's a big like obstacle, you know, very stressful.
Yeah. Here's a good story. One of those times where we both literally were out of money in our bank accounts. I was waiting on a check to come in. I mean, I knew money was coming, but in the meantime, we had none. Thankfully we were at the only campground so far where the campground host was willing to trade some of my services and, you know, for a few nights of camping.
Web building services, right, not
anything else. Right.
Yeah. Yes. So of course we worked that out and we're like, okay, that's a relief. And then a pipe burst in the bathroom under the sink. And so I ran to the hardware store and basically, I spent my last $7.50 on some piping to replace the water in the bathroom, or else we weren't going to have any water. That was like, I had no money on my card, and here's my last, you know, $7. I hope that's enough. Yeah. And, you know, we got home and fixed the sink, and the check came in, and
always
we were back
out
on the road. So.
That's right. Yeah. So, you guys talk, you fund your travel through the web design and working from the road. My question then with that is, has this lifestyle been more or less expensive than your old lifestyle? So obviously you're not making as much because you're not, you know, at a full-time job. So the money you're bringing in is not the same. But has the actual lifestyle been more or less expensive than when you were living a normal life, quote-unquote, with a fixed address?
Well, it's kind of skewed because we were living in New York City.
Right.
But
yeah.
I mean, I think the interesting thing about it is that your monthly budget can vary. You know, it can, if you are doing well and making a lot of money on the road, you could live as lavishly as you want and stay in the really fancy campgrounds that have all the amenities. And if not, you could, you know, boondock and camp for free and not go out to all the delicious barbecue restaurants that are on your website. And, you know, I mean, I think, on average, you know, we're paying a lot less for rent, but we're also paying a lot more for gas.
Yeah, but I'd say, you know, between the two of us living, yeah, you know, living together and, you know, having this lifestyle, it is less expensive than living in the city. But yeah, I think that, you know, we've kind of tried to strike a good ground between, you know, splurging and scrimping. You know, it's...
Yeah, you have to make priorities, and you guys have obviously made the travel a priority and going to places that people recommend a priority, and it would, at some point, you can't just pass by a place that's, the you know, the world's best this or that and say, like, we can't do it, because that's the point of the journey.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes we have to, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, if we can't pay for it, we can't pay for it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So how far in advance do you guys plan your next stop or the next city? Do you have kind of a basic itinerary roughed out in your head and then you stop at places along the way? Or is it really just on a whim, hey, let's drive down the road and we're gonna go from there?
We have, you know, I plan out, you know, a month ahead, basically. You know, I'll take a look at the map and kind of see, you know, we have like a loose route. We've been kind of going in a clockwise circle around sort of the perimeter of the country. But, you know, I try and plan ahead a little bit, but we did have our most spontaneous trip was from San Francisco to Yosemite. We weren't planning on, you know, we were going to stay along the coast of California, but this woman staying at our campsite in San Francisco came by our campsite one afternoon, and she was like, "Hey, are you guys going to Yosemite?"
I looked at your website.
Yeah, you know, she had the website.
Really cool. You have to go to Yosemite. And we said, okay. And she's like, no, seriously. She whips out a wad of cash and hands me a $100 bill and says, go to Yosemite, wow. You know.
She's like, my mom always, you know, she's her whole life, she's been trying to get people to you know, go to Yosemite. She'll like drive you out there. But she was like, you have to go. So we like,
the next
like,
day,
all right, well, we're going tomorrow. And it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad we did it, you know, and that had the flexibility to do it.
Well, and I think that's the joy of what you guys are doing is even if you planned something out for, you know, you plan a month in advance kind of with what you think you're going to do, you could tomorrow, if someone gives you a suggestion that's too good to pass up or gives you $100 and says you got to go here, then you can do it. And that's, I think, will probably be one of the biggest takeaways from the journey that you guys have had. And like you said, those are the experiences that really resonate.
And for the record, just so people don't think that, you know, we can be paid for votes. Yosemite was already on the map and had plenty of votes. So
there you go. How did you guys gain momentum with people voting? So in the beginning, you said it all came together pretty quick and you hopped on the road. I'm sure it was mostly friends and family at first, but then, you know, as you started gaining national media attention, stuff like that, have you seen an increase in people coming to site and voting? And now is it mostly strangers coming and giving suggestions?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was, you know, just friends and family at the beginning. And, you know, we had a couple suggestions kind of here and there. But then when we were in Dallas, we met one of the writers for the Dallas Morning News, and he wrote an article about us. And then, you know, the press kind of snowballed from there. And then we started seeing all these suggestions popping up and all of these votes. And we were like, it's working. Yay.
In the beginning, we knew the idea for the website that we had would only really work if there was a lot of people doing it. You know, if it's just, you know, 20 or 30 people, you know, they're going to get bored of it. And then we'll end up only having, you know, a few suggestions on the map. But so we knew from the beginning, we'd have to try and drum up some publicity and get some attention, which is, you know, I've never really done anything like that before. Had to, you know, strategize a social media campaign and that kind of stuff. I've never done that. So it's been an interesting learning experience, but it started off with just friends and family, and then try and build up the Facebook page and the Twitter following, and Instagram's been pretty big. And
how did, so then obviously you guys worked your way all the way up to being nominated and then being announced as the 2013 National Geographic Travelers of the Year, or I think there's seven people who are it, or eight.
There's 11
there you go.
/ families, couples.
Yeah.
Right.
11 projects, basically.
Gotcha. One of them, which was on the Benny Lewis, who was fluent in 3 months, was on the podcast a while back, a couple months ago. Cool. So, yeah, you guys are the second National Geographic Travelers of the Year on here. But how did that come about? I mean, how did you get recognition for that? Because that's obviously a very, very cool honor and something that has probably brought a lot more attention to what you're
doing. Absolutely. It's funny, and I hate when people ask me this. It's kind of embarrassing.
I mean, it's open submissions for nominations, so.
Yeah, so I saw, you know, I went on the website a couple months ago and saw that they were having a call for nominations, and we had met one of last year's National Geographic Travelers of the Year, Theron Humphrey, who did, you know, he's Natty on Things and This Wild Idea. But, you know, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and nominate ourselves because if, you know, no one else does it, you know, then, you know, if we get it, great. If we fine.
Yeah, we didn't really expect anything to come of it. It was just kind of like, doesn't hurt to do it. And then we totally forgot about it until we got a you know, an email from the editor. And
yeah, that's awesome. See, I'm with you. I mean, I think you're doing something awesome. I wanted you to come on the show really bad because I think this is an amazing story. And yeah, why not publicize what you're doing? I don't think it's embarrassing in any way because it's cool. No one else is doing it. That's why you got picked, you know? They'll make the final decision.
Yeah.
And obviously they thought
it was
awesome.
It's a huge honor, but I mean, looking at the other people that were, you know, selected, they're doing incredible and important things, you know.
They're like saving elephants and like giving bicycles to children and
A lot of humanitarian stuff.
Just doing amazing things, and we're like, we're on a road trip.
but I think I think that everyone underestimates what they're doing because they're the ones doing it and they don't see the other people that they're touching. Like with you guys, I mean, the idea behind what you're doing will inspire other people to do the same thing. And you're both mid-20s and a lot of mid-20-year-olds are unhappy with what's going on in their life or, you know, stuck in a job they don't like or whatever. And maybe they'll see it and say, you know what, I'm going to go and do that. And from there, build something incredible. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we hope, you know, people will get away from what we're doing, you know. On paper, we were not at all qualified to embark on something like this. So.
Or, like, prepared, like, well-prepared. We just kind of were like, we'll just do it.
We didn't have a ton of savings, you know. We're hoping somebody, at least one person, will take a leap of faith and try something, you know.
That's a little scary and different.
Hey, you have a fan here. Me and my wife have to go buy a camper later today, right?
I did convince my brother. I think he's on board. He's going to try and get himself an Airstream. And
that's the exact same thing I try to do on my site. Just tell stories that will inspire people. You never know what people want to do or what they're going to hear that's going to inspire them to travel. And once you do take that first step of traveling, it's hard to explain unless you've done it as well, so we could sit and talk about traveling all day and how it's changed us. But until someone does it, it's hard to explain what they're going to feel. But once they do, you know, my life is different. Like, I'm going to look at things in a different way.
Yeah, and that's what I think is at least my personal goal. Is, you know, my biggest goal in life in general is to just kind of have a broader perspective on everything. And the more I can experience firsthand, the more I can, you know, understand different people and lifestyles and cuisines and everything. And then, you know, I can build that into my perceptions of other things and how everything kind of relates to each other and how it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think traveling is kind of the ultimate way to do that. You know, it's the only way to really expose yourself to the biggest variety of, you know, life.
Yeah.
People, you know, and places and cultures and lifestyles.
Yeah. There's no education you can get like traveling. It's constant, right? You're in a new place and everything you see, everything you do is brand new to you. Your senses are so aware of everything and you're taking in stuff that you didn't know was going to happen. And for you guys, you're even doing it. You don't even pick exactly where you're going. So it's even more like that because you just say, hey, we're out here and we're at the will of, you know, the masses, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. The idea of crowdsourcing where to go and what to do, because I know whenever I'm traveling to a new place, I put it out to my readers and listeners on Twitter and they're amazing. Like, give me suggestions of where to eat and do and where to go in New Orleans or wherever I am. And I get all these suggestions back. It's awesome. It makes you feel much more
connected.
Connected. That's a great word.
Yeah.
Great word.
Well, it's so, we have this, like, this powerful internet, you know, that we can use to our advantage with, you know, social networks and social media. You know, it's, this trip would not be possible without the internet, really.
Yeah. We would have been lost as soon as we pulled out of the driveway if it weren't for Google Maps on our phone,
having this group of people who you can instantly connect with all over the world, you know.
And not only that,
to use that, it's
Laura noted the other day that, you know, the past couple weeks, you know, we've been able to connect with someone we know either, you know, it from, you know, in person from New York or wherever, from other places we've lived, or people we met online that are doing something similar, fellow travelers or whatever. We've been able to meet up with somebody in pretty much every city we've been in since...
For the past, like,
since
2 months,
since Minnesota
something?
Or something. You know, it's, you know...
Yeah.
I don't have any of these people's phone numbers, but so...
But we have internet,
Facebook keeps us all in touch, and, you know, it also allows us to kind of keep tabs on where our traveling friends are, and, you know, if we see that they just posted a picture of, you know, Boston, we can say, hey, we're in Boston too, let's hang out, you know?
Yeah, and one of the great things about traveling and meeting other people is usually you're meeting, if you are meeting other travelers, the cool thing is you cannot see them for 3-4 years, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm coming to London, or I'm coming to Sydney, and they live there, and it's like no time has passed, because you're all in that same mindset of let's make every moment as good as it can be, and it doesn't matter whether you've seen them, you know, every day for the last week or you haven't seen them in 4 years. People are so willing when they're travelers because they know these relationships are, you know, like spur of the moment type things and kind of serendipitous. So
just last night we had dinner with our friends, Dave and Ann, shout out to their blog, Advo DNA, The Adventures of Dave and Ann. They emailed us when we were coming through California, and they have a little farm, up in Petaluma, and, you know, they said, hey, come park in our farm, you know, and stay for a couple nights. And we had never made any contact with them, but we were like, yeah, sure, okay. You know, they don't seem creepy. So,
right.
And, you know, they shared some of their homegrown pork and bacon with us, and, you know, eggs that were laid that morning, and, you know, and then just last night we just met up with them here in Boston, and, you know, it's like, We ended up doing this caravan up to Canada with a bunch of other Airstreamers, and they actually talked us into that caravan, and, you know, it was just like complete strangers. We're now like really good friends.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think that is the joy in traveling. And I think you realize the more you go, I'm sure you guys have realized this too, is that people, you know, at first, maybe the first time someone contacts you, like, we should get together or come to our place or whatever, you're like, well, I don't know them. But then the first time you do it, you're like, this was really cool. And then it builds. And you know, you have to be somewhat careful, of course. But overall, 99% of the people you meet are really going to genuinely want to help you out because they love what you're doing.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's just, you know, it's just good conversation, you know? Yeah.
People, you know, anyone who's interested in traveling, you know, is generally, I've found to be a decent person. You know, they're open-minded and they're, you know, they're interesting. So it's been really nice to.
Yeah, it's always
to
good
meet
to share
with,
stories too.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. So, what are some of the coolest things that you've gotten to do so far in the last 9 months or so? Obviously, you've checked off, what is it, 124 different suggestions. What were some of the coolest ones that you've done so far?
Gosh, it's hard to remember them all.
I had never been to California, so
yeah,
going out west and actually seeing a lot of these national parks and things in person, that, I mean, as cheesy as that is, they're national parks for a reason. They're amazing to see. But, you know, there's one thing in Chicago, this little store called Woolly Mammoth is just like this. It's one of those kind of eclectic stores that has taxidermy animals and
like
old medical tools and just all this interesting old stuff that's all really quirky and funky and, you know, I asked the guy sitting behind the counter if I could take pictures. He turned out to be the owner, and we ended up talking to him for 2 hours and, you know, bought a couple of things. And, it was, you know,
he was just a really cool guy. And we talked about traveling and got to look around all the weird stuff he's collected. And
yeah, so it's stuff like that, from a tiny store in Chicago to the Grand Canyon,
Yeah. Right, and everything in between.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Big Sur.
Big Sur was amazing.
We camped there for a night and got to swim in the ocean and see the sunset over the Pacific. I mean, it was. I
also met some fellow travelers, some young kids traveling around and working on farms and stuff. And
yeah, that's awesome. And it is the people you meet more than the things you do. I mean, obviously the things you do are cool and seeing, you know, monuments and parks are awesome. But yeah, I've found that the more I travel, it's the people. It's like these experiences with people that you can't, you know, might not sound amazing to anyone else, but you're like, I spent 2 hours talking to this guy I never would have met who did things that like were goofy and quirky and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and it makes it more memorable than just like, oh, I saw this place and I have a picture to prove it. You know, it makes it more personal.
Yeah. I mean, also outside of Chicago in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you know, we went to this bar and there's a really young bartender who was really enthusiastic about his job and was really into, you know, good old fashioned cocktails, you know, Prohibition era stuff. And she worked at a really good cocktail bar in New York. And, you know, we were just talking to him about cocktails and they closed the bar at 10 and we were there till 1 o'clock hanging out with, you know, him and the two cooks, you know, and it's, you know,
it's just a good time.
Yeah. It's just, it really is the people that, you know, I think we remember most. I have pictures for all the other things, you know.
Sure.
I have pictures of all the parks and all that stuff, and that's great. And I'm glad that I got to take my own photos of those places. But, yeah, I mean, Yosemite is always going to be connected to that lady in San Francisco who handed me the $100 bill.
Secretly, is there anything you guys are waiting for someone to recommend? You said people can't pay you off, right? But is there anything that you guys are sitting there thinking, man, I hope someone puts this or this on the list so then we have like the excuse to go do it? And I know you do a little of your own stuff anyway, but
yeah.
maybe there's some suggestions we can have listeners put up there so you can go to.
Well,
we were actually talking about this last night. We just, you know, when we were in Minneapolis, we were sent to the Mall of America, and we got sent to this weird water park town that was like the Las Vegas of water parks in Wisconsin. And we were like, why? I mean, it was great to see, but we were like, why are people sending us to these like big places that are expensive? And, you know,
in Minneapolis, you know, we were hanging out with my stepdad who works up there, and, you know, he ended up taking us to this surplus store as, you know, just this big kind of warehousey store
junk store.
Yeah, it's like a junk store, and it's got all these bins full of just random things from electrical components to kazoos to whatever. But like, you know, the guys who run the shop have all these little hand-drawn sarcastic, snarky signs on everything, and is really interesting.
It's been like an hour, like walking around there, and it was, we're like, why did no one put this on our map? It's something that you can't find anywhere else, and it's totally unique and weird and awesome, and it makes that place unique, I guess. Where it's great to see, you know, these national parks and these very traditional places that you would go to on a road trip, but we're kind of we want more off the beaten path places that we would never hear about unless somebody knew about it and put it on our map, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, like I remember my first road trip when I was going down to Florida and we just saw a sign that said smallest church in America.
Right.
And me and my buddy were like, well, that's strange. We don't even know where we are. We're in Georgia somewhere. And we pull off and it's just this tiny church. And you go in and you're like, this is the funny, like that was at this point 12 years ago. But I remember that. It's probably the only part of the trip I actually do remember. But yeah, just these goofy places that you're like, I'm seeing this because it, you know, because either someone told me about it or it just is a hidden gem that I happened to stumble upon, as opposed to, like you said, the Mall of America, which everyone knows is in wherever it is, Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're considering, you know, maybe putting some of our own ideas on the map, and, you know, it's just still have to be voted on before we can do it. But yeah, we're thinking maybe we'll just start putting our own ideas on there and see what everybody else thinks. But
yeah,
I don't know.
But more,
I have
more
to look up the rule book and see if that's ethical.
The Democratic Traveler's rule book.
Yeah. The Constitution.
Yeah. But yeah, more off the beaten path places.
Yeah. Quirky little things. Well, listeners, you've heard that then. Find all the little quirky little things in your town that John Lahr will never find on their own. And let's go from there.
Yeah.
Well, guys, what's next then? What are your next few stops that you're going to be making?
Tomorrow we're headed to Northwest Connecticut to visit my aunt and uncle. Just spent a couple of days hanging around there. And then we'll be in New York for about a week.
It'll be our big homecoming.
Yeah. Visiting friends and stuff. And then New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then Philly.
Okay. Coming to Philly.
Down to Florida for Thanksgiving and visit my mom for Thanksgiving and her parents for Christmas, and then off to the Southwest to ride out the winter.
Okay. I know you had originally planned on doing it for a year, but that's changed, right?
Yeah. we figure we like it, it's less of a trip now, more of a lifestyle. So, we're leaving it open-ended until we decide we don't like it anymore.
Or until all the wheels fall off of the Airstream or something like that, right?
It happens sooner rather than later.
we're working on that, but, you know.
Or you don't have the $7.50 to buy the piping.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on the show. From the moment I first heard your story, I've been dying to get you on the show because, like I said, selfishly, I've dreamed of doing similar things in my life. And I think a lot of Americans have a dream to just road trip around the U.S. and find all these little hidden gems that our country has to offer. So thanks for letting us live vicariously through you until we can all buy our own Airstreams and get out on the road and caravan around together.
Yeah.
Hey, you just do it with a pickup truck. That's what Theron did.
There you go. Before I let you guys go, just remind people one more time how they can come and connect with you, especially how they can vote and put things on the map, because that's really the cool thing that you guys are doing, is allowing people to tell you where to go.
All right. It's the democratictravelers.com. You just go on there. You can sign in with Facebook or Twitter or your email address or whatever, and then, you know, it'll put you right on the map, and you just start typing in places. Just search for whatever you think we should do, and, you know, it's only three questions. Where should we go? What should we do there, and why? And
And we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those social media.
Yep. And all that. And we'll link all that up on the show notes. And of course they can find that all on your website as well, I'm sure.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So thedemocratictravelers.com. John and Lahr, once again, thanks so much for coming on. Can't wait to meet up with you guys when you roll through Philly eventually.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for having us.
My pleasure. Listeners, it's now up to you to help decide where John and Lahr are going next. So head on over to thedemocratictravelers.com. John built the site himself. It's really awesome. Hop on over onto the map function and give them the coolest places in your area or your city, those hidden gems that we're looking for, and then go and vote on the things you think they should see, because it's really neat. They'll go to those places. You get to decide what they do. They'll write blog posts. They'll show pictures. So if there's always a place that you've wanted to go and never been able to, suggest it to them, and you can live vicariously through them. So make sure you help crowdsource their awesome adventure that they're taking. Another quick note from Extra Pack of Peanuts. We have actually just finished our second Frequent Flyer Bootcamp. It was awesome. Just like the first one, we're going to be opening up a third session at some point in the future. So you can hold on over to extrapackofpeanuts.com/frequent flyer bootcamp if you want to start learning more about how to redeem your frequent flyer miles. It's been a lot of fun these first two sessions for me. There's been incredible value for the students. And you can go to that page. There's an email sign-in box. So if you do want to pre-register for the next session, then you'll get an email right as we're opening it up, so you can be guaranteed a spot in our next Frequent Flyer Bootcamp session. So that's extrapackofpeanuts.com/frequent flyer bootcamp. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in once again. Look forward to talking to you next week. And until then, happy free travels. Yeah, well, you don't have to worry, 'cause we're
blowing it soon. You don't know.